This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Romo yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got a breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. And we're going to go across town to that home daycare center of Ryan Callahan. And I got to tell y'all, guys, we've had some big breaking news editions of this podcast the past few years, but I don't know that we've had one quite this big. Ryan, this might be the first, like, holy pod we've had.
Yeah. That's a pretty catchy title. Maybe we should go with that. But yeah, no doubt it's that kind of day for Tennessee. Five-star quarterback Nico Iamaleava has committed to Tennessee. I'm sure, well, you know, if you follow Tennessee recruiting,
huge deal.
Yes. No question. This is the number three overall player in the country. Big time talent at quarterback. If assuming he signs, and obviously, look, several months left, rankings can change. I don't foresee his ranking changing so much that he doesn't end up being a five star, but I guess you never know. But if assuming he sticks with Tennessee and signs, this would be the first five star quarterback Tennessee has signed since Casey Clawson in 2000. So, been a long time since Tennessee got a quarterback even comparable to this caliber. And you could certainly argue that, you're going to hear all sorts of probably unfair expectations put on him, but there's no way around it. This is a big time talent that could be a program changer for Tennessee. If you followed Tennessee recruiting over the past several months, you probably heard this name. I'm sure a lot of people were skeptical early on that Tennessee would be able to beat out, Alabama and Oregon and Georgia, UCLA, and everybody else that was in this recruitment. But impressive job by Tennessee. They got him on campus twice over the past 5 months or so, 4 or 5 months, and for Tennessee to beat out some big programs for him, very impressive. And this, hey, let's face it, you never know what's going to happen once he gets here. Taven Jackson's on campus, but there's a very good chance you're looking at Tennessee's quarterback of the future in Nico Iamaleava, 6'5", 195 pounds. Really talented, can do it all basically, and a ton of upside in his game, which we'll get into more a little bit later. But this is just an incredibly impressive win for Tennessee, and just sort of a landmark win, and maybe a turning point for Tennessee in a lot of ways for Josh Heupel and his staff.
Yeah, you think about it now, and there's going to be a lot of time that we'll have in this podcast. It might be just a couple minutes more than a normal breaking pod because there's so much going on here, but the bottom line is we will talk about the impact of this more in the second segment. We'll get to all that, but the bottom line here is that for people who have said, man, I really like that Josh Heupel offense, I like the energy in the program, I like that the guys love playing for him, but when is he going to recruit? When is he going to get those big five stars? When is he going to like put down a big marker right there for the nation in recruiting? And this is it. Like authoritative statements don't get much more authoritative than this one. This is a huge deal. This is a huge, huge deal. I mean, you think about it right now, just Tennessee right now, you've got a top five ranked basketball team. You got a number two ranked baseball team, and you got a football team that's got a lot of hype going right now, but has a long way to go in terms of really getting elite again. But you get a guy like this, Ryan, you're sending a message.
That's exactly what Tennessee certainly is hoping this will be. I think it's a program changer potentially in a couple of senses. One, obviously you don't want to assume that he's going to live up to the hype and project that he's a future Heisman contender and things like that. But he's the kind of talent that gives you the opportunity to maybe be in that discussion with a lot of what he can do on the field. But also there's the recruiting aspect, and, you know, quarterbacks, obviously, you know, this is a pretty early commitment. They tend to commit earlier, and this gives you a chance to go out there and recruit other players. And it really does send a message to have one of these elite quarterbacks in the 2023 class, a guy that a lot of players around the country at least know of, if they don't know him personally, and are going to be impressed by this. And this is really going on the heels of what Tennessee did on the field last year, you know, a pretty promising first year. I think people were kind of, you know, looking at it like, okay, all right, that's a good start. Now let's see where they go from there. And for this to come on the heels of that, I think is only going to continue to raise expectations on the field, certainly, but it's going to get a lot more prospects' attention in recruiting. So this is going to be the type of thing I think that does give Tennessee at least a chance to parlay this into something more than just one big pickup. You know, this is the kind of thing that maybe big-time receivers, other big-time players on offense maybe think twice about Tennessee now that weren't looking at them before and say, hey, maybe I want to visit there. I'm sure Tennessee will be getting Nico Iamaleava and on a lot of their recruiting efforts to try to get him to spearhead this class. So that's where this could be a program changer, is just kind of the momentum it could give you in recruiting. And you know, Peyton Manning and some of those guys Tennessee landed back in the 90s, if they live up to the hype, they have a tendency to sort of just convince other players, maybe even in future classes, to come join the program. So if he lives up to the hype, especially but even before he gets on campus, I think he's going to convince other players to give Tennessee a look. And that's something they were kind of lacking before. And now you've got some real star power to go behind everything they're building.
Yeah. And we'll talk in the second segment. And again, I apologize. My voice is a little bit out of whack today. It's a couple days. Don't worry, it's not COVID or anything. It's just a little bit of an upper respiratory infection, but my voice is a little bit off today, so I apologize for that in advance. But we're going to have plenty of time in the second segment to discuss what this means, how big this is in terms of the sort of maybe the cascade, like the effect of how many other guys could want to come play for Tennessee now, how much this opens everyone's eyes to everything. But before we do that, maybe let's talk about why that's the case. What kind of a player is this? And I'm going to tell you, Ryan, I say this on every recruiting podcast we ever have because I feel like I always have to put this qualifier out there. I am not a recruiting analyst. I am not a recruiting expert. You are a recruiting analyst. You are a recruiting expert. We have recruiting experts all over our network. I'm not one of those guys. But I do know football, right? I've been doing this for a long time. And I've been looking at this kid on film, and I've been watching this stuff. And you can always pick up more when you see someone in person. But just from watching, I've thought about this for a while, Ryan, and I can think of one thing and one thing only that I don't love, and that is that he's a little bit skinny. But you can fix that. You can get bigger, right? I mean, he's 6'5", 195. He's not, you know, a 19 or 20 or 22-year-old kid yet. He's got time to fill into that frame. But this is a kid. He's not really a guy who wants to run, but when he does, he absolutely can run. He is very, very athletic. But he is 6'5", 195 pounds, he has an absolutely gigantic arm, and he just kind of flicks the ball around the field the way you need to. Like, you see those guys who just kind of make it look easy when they flick the ball left, they flick it right, they put the right spin on it, they put the right trajectory on it, the right touch on it. He just makes the game at a pretty high level down there at Long Beach Poly. He makes it look ridiculously easy.
He does, and he just recently transferred back to Long Beach Poly, where he was before. By the way, that's a new development. Mm-hmm. He was at Warren High School in Downey, California, before, but still in the same area, obviously. But yeah, he is, as you said, in 2 years at that as a starter. He played a COVID shortened season, obviously, in 2020, and then this past year was his first full normal season as a starter. But that's what you see on film, is essentially 2 years worth of experience as a starting quarterback. So this is not a guy who's grown up, you know, just living, breathing it, getting, working with all sorts of quarterback gurus across the country.
Cause he's also a top volleyball prospect. He's one of like the top volleyball prospects in the country, you know?
Yes. Yes. I believe I heard right, he's been invited to some sort of maybe prospect camp for the that could involve or eventually lead to him getting on the U.S. national team if he wanted to pursue volleyball. You know, he's a pretty big prospect in volleyball, at least probably a, you know, top 100, top 50 type prospect in the country if he focused his attention on that sport. So he's very good at volleyball and just kind of got into football more the past few years. But yeah, so that's the exciting thing about him is, as you said, he makes it look effortless, throwing it just at kind of a flick of the wrist almost, and the ball just jumps out of his hand, and shows a lot of touch on a lot of throws, very impressive touch on a lot of situations. Still some things though that you see that he can continue to grow.
Sure, polish. Kids need, yeah.
Sure. And that's why I think a lot of people have looked at him and said, you know, there's kind of this three-headed monster at the top of the rankings right now in 24/7 sports rankings, where right now, and this may be the first time we've seen this if it stays, three quarterbacks battling at the top of the rankings to be the number one prospect in the country. Arch Manning, who obviously kind of a household name already in recruiting, the nephew of Peyton Manning, son of Cooper Manning, that has been, you know, the number one prospect for a while. Mm-hmm. Right behind him, you've got Malachi Nelson, who's committed to USC. And then at number three, Nico Iamaliava, obviously now committed to Tennessee. And so you've got those three guys that a lot of people for different reasons like each one. But the consistent thing you hear from a lot of people, and I would tend to agree, is that Iamaliava might have the highest ceiling of the three. And it's partly because of his more limited experience. It's also just because of the kind of the raw skills and just talent you see, as we talked about, just his ability to throw it, to make any throw, basically, his ability to run. There's really nothing he can't do with his skill set. And as he continues to polish things up and master the mental side of the game, I think he's only going to continue to get better. And he seems like he's going to be a guy with his skill set, can be a perfect fit for any system. But if you were kind of drawing up the prototypical quarterback for a Josh Heupel offense or a lot of other offenses these days, it would look a lot like this guy, having a chance to run, as you said, when he needs to. And when he does, he runs with toughness and has pretty good speed and all that. But really is a guy that at his core wants to throw the ball down the field, and he can make it work either way. So this is the kind of guy who absolutely could be one of the best quarterbacks in the country if he lives up to the hype. And there's a reason he's obviously ranked where he is right now.
Yeah, and you know, again, a player's like hometown or home area or where they're from, I mean, you know, historically that, you know, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, I mean, there's areas that produce more players per capita. And I'm not the best expert you'll ever hear on this, but I have always loved West Coast quarterbacks. I love West Coast quarterbacks. I think that, I don't know why, but it just seems like they sometimes have a better understanding of passing games when they arrive. And I know this kid is not like a, you know, purebred, born his entire life to play quarterback kind of guy. You know, he it's a little bit different, but just the way they play the game out there, I really like West Coast quarterbacks, Ryan. I think they have a feel for the game and a touch throwing the ball, especially in this era where passing is king in a lot of places. I like it.
I'm with you on that, and I think he's kind of a good example of what you often see out there, guys who, you know, whether they've done it for years or not, just have kind of a natural throwing ability that's hard to duplicate, hard to find many places, and just a ton of upside there. And it's maybe no coincidence either that the last time Tennessee signed a five-star quarterback was a California guy, as I mentioned earlier, Casey Clawson. So it's a state that's put out a ton of good ones over the years. And no question, he's just the latest. Kind of furthering your point, Malachi Nelson, again, the USC commitment. He was previously committed to Oklahoma and now following Lincoln Riley to USC. He's right out there in California, too. So you got two of the top three players and quarterbacks in the country right there in a pretty small area. That's the kind of talent you often see in the state of California. It's why, you know, USC has always been viewed as kind of a sleeping giant in recent years that can get back to what they were not too long ago, because there is a ton of talent out there and quarterbacks are almost always available in just about any class. So Iamaliava, definitely just another example of that. But this is, make no mistake, this is not just another elite quarterback in a lot of people's eyes. I think there's a sense here that you don't want to overhype a guy or risk putting too many expectations on him. I think that that's probably going to happen anyway. It's going to be probably unfair because Tennessee's not had a guy like this at the quarterback position in a long time, at least in terms of rankings. But this is a guy who's gotten a chance to be a generational talent in a lot of people's eyes. And you know, again, you don't want to put too much on a teenager who's, yeah, who's not even on a college campus.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, but lots and lots of years where this young man would be indisputably the number one, not just quarterback, but number one prospect in the country. It just so happens, yes, that this year there's a competition where there's three of them, but there's a lot of years I can think of where this young man would be the number one with a bullet across the board.
Exactly right. I think that's a good way to put it. Because and Greg Biggins, one of our national analysts at 24/7 Sports, there on the West Coast, very familiar with Nico Iamaleava. He said the very same thing. Said you know, essentially, there's no doubt in his mind he would have been the number one player in the previous class, but just because he's in this really special, at least at the top, quarterback class in 2023 with Arch Manning and Malachi Nelson at the top, that's why you see him at number three right now. So. And hey, plenty of time for that to change. There are going to be all-star events, the national all-star games in January that will help them sort that out. Still a chance this that Nico Iamaleava ends up being the number one player in this class. We'll see how that shakes out in the end. Arch Manning's been there for a while, but the bottom line is three special quarterbacks. Tennessee is now getting one of them, but don't worry about the fact that he's behind these guys. Don't let that take away from what he is. And that's a lot of people think he is. A potentially generational talent at quarterback. I mean, he's got a chance to be that good. So, again, we'll see. That recruiting, they're always busts and surprises. So nothing's a sure thing. But I think there are a lot of people that look at him and see a skill set and just raw ability that's hard to find. And so certainly the type of player that doesn't come out every year.
There's a lot more that we need to discuss about this young man, and we're absolutely going to do that. But we're a little bit pressed for a first break here, so we're going to step away for just a second, guys. Give you a second to just cool off for a minute. You might need to just cool off for a minute before we get revved back up again to keep discussing this sort of momentous day for Tennessee football, a really, really big day for Tennessee football, and we're going to have a lot more to discuss about it. But before we do that, we're going to step away and pay some bills, listen to products, services, in-house ads, and other fun things, and then we'll be right back here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad
money!
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard from a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio, Ryan Callahan coming to you from across town there at his home daycare center, talking about a huge, huge, huge day for Tennessee football. The Vols have gone 3,000 miles across the country and have secured a commitment from Nico Iamaleava, one of the biggest quarterback prospects, not just of this year, but of the past few years in recruiting circles. This is a young man, 6'5", 195 pounds, just can do just about everything at the quarterback position. And when you talk about Tennessee as a football program, trying to chase and chase and chase and chase and get right back to being one of those teams that's just thought of across the country as, man, that's a football destination. That's a huge football program. This is one of those days, circle it on your calendar, mark it down, that proves that Tennessee still has a name that means a hell of a lot across football recruiting. This is a big, big deal for Tennessee, and we have a lot more to discuss about it. Quickly, though, before we do that, if you could take just about, let's say, a minute out of your day right now, go in there and rate and review and subscribe to this podcast, that would help us out a lot. If you're just listening on the website, we love you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no wrong way to consume this podcast. But what would really help us out more than anything, if you could go in there, rate, review, and subscribe, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world you can cast the fine pod, you can find this very GoVols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free, and we're happy to do it. The one thing we ask, rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. If you're already doing that, thank you. We love you. If you're not, go yourself. That's the motto. People don't like it, but that's what it is. Ryan, just how big of a day is this for Tennessee? Not just this football team, this football coaching staff, but this football program.
Yeah, it's huge. As you said, it's potentially one of those watershed moments for Tennessee, where you just look back on it as kind of a turning point in everything they were doing. Now, I think certainly year one under Josh Heupel, it exceeded expectations in a lot of ways. It was a foundation building kind of year. They've got the culture in a much better place now. There's a lot of things they've done that led to this. So I don't think this you can necessarily say that if Tennessee does get back to competing for championships in the next few years as a result of this, that it's just because of this. But certainly when you add this to what they've done.
It might be like the day that, you know, they made Hendon Hooker the quarterback and they showed what this offense really could be. And that led to this in some ways.
Exactly. Yeah. And give Hendon Hooker a lot of credit because it gave Tennessee something to sell. Nico Iamaleava, you know, that I think that's as much as anything. That helped Tennessee win this battle. And Josh Heupel's track record with quarterbacks, you know, we have talked about that before. If there was a position where I think people would have given Tennessee a shot at winning a big battle like this, it probably would have been the quarterback position because, you know, Drew Locke, Dylan Gabriel, even going back to his time in Oklahoma, guys like Sam Bradford, there's some good players Josh Heupel's worked with in the past that when you put them all out on a resume, it looks pretty good. And it's hard not to like that as a quarterback. Not a stretch to see that after 1 year with Hendon Hooker and having what they have to sell now at that position and the numbers he put up last season, combine that with everything else, and it's going to be pretty attractive to some good quarterbacks. So I think people would not be shocked maybe if you went back several months and said, hey, Tennessee's going to land a five-star quarterback in the next couple of years under Josh Heupel. But just for it to happen so soon, for it to be one this good, where you're beating out, you know, some of the very best programs in the country for him, that's the really impressive part. And for this to happen going into year two, just gives you a chance to kind of change the trajectory of the program even more than what they've done so far. You know, they might end up having a pretty good season this year to add to this, but there's certainly, at least in terms of expectations, I think this is going to change things a little bit for Tennessee in recruiting. And for the program in general, just you know, the kind of massively elite talent that we've not seen end up at Tennessee very much over the years, really, really at all in program history. I mean, very few players in the internet era that you could say were in the same ballpark with Nico Iamaleava who've ended up at Tennessee. You know, Bryce Brown, guys like that, Khalil McKenzie.
Yeah, I was about to say ranked. Khalil. Yeah,
there have been some other guys up there. But for one like this at the quarterback position, we've not really seen that in the past 20, 25 years. You know, again, Casey Clawson, the last five-star that Tennessee signed at quarterback. So it's been a few and far between kind of talent level for Tennessee at quarterback. And there aren't many guys like this to begin with. But really, let's face it, a lot of people are going to look at this fairly or not and say this is Tennessee's biggest pickup at quarterback since Peyton Manning. And that's pretty lofty praise, but it's probably a fair comparison at this point just based on where he is as a prospect.
Yeah, and it seems to me like a lot of the biggest prospects Tennessee has signed in recent years were guys who maybe late in the recruiting cycle got a really big ratings bump because people realized what kind of players they actually were. And I think that probably speaks to the level that Tennessee has, I don't want to say been forced to, but Tennessee's needed to recruit at recently because the program has been through some tough years and some turmoil and changes. And it's just been, that's just kind of how it's been, Ryan. But I mean, this is, you know, this is one of those guys who, you know, you go to a lot of these, you know, showcase events, you know, all these big competitions and camps and 7-on-7 deals and all these things. This is one of those names that when you say it to just about anybody at these camps, and you say, hey, this kid, John Doe, or, you know, is going to Tennessee, that it really gets people to kind of open their eyes and go, ooh, almost kind of like a meme. And this is one of those names, isn't it?
I think so. And you're going to see the reaction. I think this is going to make some waves on social media. I'm sure already is as we're speaking, just as far as the types of people who take notice of this in recruiting, and even outside recruiting, just in the college football world. You know, I think word has kind of gotten out there that over the past several days or a couple of weeks that Tennessee has been in good shape with Nico Iamaleava. But for this to go down, for Tennessee to pull off this win, it's going to get a lot of people's attention. And again, I think there's some real thought that, you know, not just people who are fairly close to Iamaleava, but just some other good players around the country who had some interest in Tennessee are maybe going to take a little more interest. I think there's some thought that, you know, and we'll see how many of these end up being better possibilities for Tennessee right now. But, you know, guys like Carnell Tate, the five-star wide receiver from IMG Academy down in Florida, you know, he's visited Tennessee twice since November, just like Iamaleava, and they were on the same visit actually back in late November for the Vanderbilt game. You know, does this cause a guy like that to not, you know, take an even harder look at Tennessee, or does this bolster their chances of winning what's going to be a really hard fought battle with Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama, and others? You know, the players like that, you'd have to imagine it's going to only help Tennessee's chances at least a little bit with a lot of those types of players. And maybe it gets them on the radar of some guys who weren't looking at them before, but no question, quarterbacks are trendsetters in recruiting. A lot of times they get other players to follow them. That's the other thing that's big about this. Everybody you talk with, and it's easy to see why, if you spend some time around him just for a few minutes and my couple of times talking with him, Nico Iamaleava is the type of kid you want, I think, to lead your football program, just based on everything I've heard about him so far. I mean, you never know. Kids can react funny when you get them on college campuses. So kids make mistakes and things like that. So you never say never. And you're dealing with the human element there. So you never know if it's going to play out this way. But just right now, as a high school kid, everyone thinks this is a natural leader, a guy who's going to be a good leader for a program, and someone that can fit seamlessly into the culture Tennessee is building. That, if you know, not a prima donna at all, but yet has that swagger and just natural confidence about him that you want in a big time player. And it's hard to overstate the importance of that sometimes. I think this is the kind of guy that people are just going to gravitate toward because he's, you know, he smiles all the time. He's a likable, approachable guy and easygoing. And it's going to, but yet at the same time, a competitor. You know, he kind of gets on his teammates sometimes at 7-on-7 tournaments and picks them up and, you know, says, hey, we've got to do better, things like that. So he's a natural leader, easygoing and likable and fun to be around, but also not afraid to take charge. And that's exactly what you need leading a program. And that's maybe as much as anything why this is a big deal for Tennessee, not just the talent. It's what he could mean for the rest of Tennessee's program and just the overall culture and locker room.
Yeah, and you look at it, and right now, I think the fact of the matter is right now, this, you look at Southern California, and I'm not talking about USC, I'm talking about Southern California. And right now, this just so happens to be when Lincoln Riley just got there, right? And it seems like it's a big year for a lot of players in that state, and a lot of them have already committed to USC. They've gone from, you know, Oklahoma commits or Oklahoma leans to being USC commits. So USC is going to get a lot of those. Maybe it's just hanging out at Lincoln Riley's house, and they're like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, they just – that's kind of a thing right now. But this is a young man who will get people's attention toward Tennessee as well, and not just in Southern California, not just in California, not just on the West Coast, across the country. People know what kind of a talent this is. And when you get a quarterback early in a recruiting class of this caliber, it very rarely leads to a mediocre recruiting class. You don't have to be a recruiting expert to know that at the single most important position, if you get one of the best players out there, period, at that position early in the recruiting cycle, you have a chance to get a domino effect and put together a really, really nice class. And that doesn't mean that you know, that there might be some three stars and other guys that Josh Heupel's like, man, I love this kid. I want this kid in my program. But in terms of getting the eyeballs in front of, or getting the attention of, these high-end prospects, these big-time, the Rolls Royces, the five-star, this gets the attention there. And I'll tell you what else it does, Ryan. If nothing else, we saw it last year, and no one needed evidence of this. Everyone should pretty much know this. But if you want to make a leap as a football program, as a football team, whether you're at the NFL level, the college level, if you get a difference maker at quarterback, it does not evaporate your other weaknesses, but man, it sure does paper over a lot of them, and it makes things a lot better for you. It puts points on the board. It helps you overcome other things. It's not like you can take a team full of stiffs and go win a national title if you have a stud quarterback, but you can win a lot of games doing that.
You can, no question. Hey, just look at, LSU for years has been a program with tons of talent. You know, they won a national championship with Jamarcus Russell too, but that was a guy that ended up being the number one pick. But what took that program over the top? Getting Joe Burrow and a lot of other talent around him for sure. But all it takes is the right quarterback sometimes. And the better comparison for Tennessee might be, a guy like Matt Corral at Ole Miss or someone like that.
Absolutely.
And that's an example.
That's a really, really, really good point.
Because, you could be looking at taking Tennessee from, a 7-6 type of season to, we'll see what they do this year. One quarterback, as you said, not going to gloss over everything else in the program, but, and we'll see how much it helps the rest of Tennessee's class and future classes. But a difference making quarterback can make you a 10-win team with the right surrounding cast. And if you get things to continue to develop across the board the way they have so far, I think that's a very easy projection to make that this is the quickest path for Tennessee to get back to competing, truly competing in the SEC. And, Hendon Hooker and what he did on the field has been a big step toward that. We'll see what he can do in the 2022 season, but no doubt if you were trying to, kind of chart a course for Tennessee to get back to winning 10 games in a season and to get back to ultimately challenging Georgia for the SEC East or whoever's up there in a couple of years, this is how you do it. You go get a difference maker at quarterback and you try to see if he can kind of lift the program and everyone else around him and bring in more talent to go with him. So that's, again, there's several reasons this is a potentially program changing moment and pickup for Tennessee. But that's the bottom line, that it's the most important position in football. And there's a real chance that Nico Iamaleava could be the type of player who really could just change the trajectory of everything on the field for Tennessee.
Ryan, there's a couple other things that I want to ask you, but maybe the most important one before we go here is just how did this come together for Tennessee? Who were the coaches leading the way, the players leading the way? How did Tennessee get this young man's attention, and what got the deal done for him to commit to the Vols?
Yeah, first of all, give Tennessee quarterbacks coach Joey Halsley a lot of credit. This is a guy that does not when he came in, I think a lot of people saw him. He's quarterbacks coach. He's an important guy because Josh Heupel's a quarterbacks guy. This is a quarterback friendly offense. But I don't know if people saw him as a big time recruiter, fair or not, when he came in, just because they didn't know a lot about him. He's absolutely shown with this recruitment that he can go toe to toe with anybody and win a big time battle. This is an impressive win for a lot of people in Tennessee's program, but maybe Joey Halsley as much as anyone. He did some great, great work laying the foundation for Tennessee. Josh Heupel obviously heavily involved there too, as he is with any quarterback prospect and a lot of targets at most positions for that matter, but especially at quarterback because he's a quarterback's guy himself. But Joey Halsley, a California native, put in a lot of time and effort into building the relationship with Nico and his family, did a really good job and just kind of chipped away at it for several months. I mentioned Tennessee offered him back in May of last year and didn't get him on campus right away. He actually took a swing through the Southeast last summer and went to Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama and didn't visit Tennessee. And that was just a few weeks after Tennessee had offered. So maybe a little late to set up the visit at that point. But they, they kept working at it, seemed to be pretty optimistic they were going to get him back for a visit during the season. And he finally eventually did make it in for the last game of the season, the Vanderbilt game back in late November. And that visit kind of put Tennessee back in it or in the mix firmly after we weren't really sure how much of a serious contender they were for a while there. And that visit put them on the radar. he said from that point forward, he was going to come back for a visit. And then obviously he came back for the big visit the weekend of March 5th, and Tennessee just knocked it out of the park. Everything went perfectly for Tennessee on that visit. He and his family spent more than 3 days on campus, spent a lot of time with coaches. He went over to 2 softball games at Tennessee. A noteworthy connection here: his cousin is a softball player at Tennessee. They're from Southern California. She transferred from Oklahoma. So having that connection and you know, probably made it a little bit easier, at least for him to envision himself at Tennessee. But you know, from the fans chanting his name at the basketball game to just the weather being right when he was in town, it was a beautiful, you know, 60s and 70s and sunny most of the weekend that he was in. Just everything seemed to go perfectly on that visit, and Tennessee just knocked it out of the park so much that even though the perception had previously been that Oregon was the team to beat, I think Tennessee was very much a factor even before that visit, and that visit just kind of made Tennessee the clear favorite, I think. And it obviously wrapped things up pretty quickly for Tennessee after he had initially planned to wait till late April or May to make a decision. So give Tennessee and that whole staff a lot of credit. They put in a lot of work on this, but you know, Joey Halsley and Josh Heupel obviously deserve a lot of the credit for the work they put in over a pretty long haul. This was not just something that happened with one visit. This was, you know, several months of work to get him on campus, to get Tennessee back in it, and eventually to beat out some of the country's best programs for it.
Ryan, last thing, unless you have anything else to add, the last thing that I've got here, and again, we're going a little bit longer here than we do on normal sort of emergency breaking pods, but I think you can understand the reason why we're doing that. This is such a huge, huge deal. In terms of what you know about this young man, I know he's 3,000 miles away, but you've still been able to speak with him a few times and get to know him a little bit. How aggressive will he be as a peer recruiter, do you think? I know he's kind of got, you've kind of described his personality a little bit. In terms of just sort of, is this the kind of guy that not only people will want to come play with because they know him, his name and his talent, how aggressively will he be out there trying to get guys to come to Tennessee with him?
Yeah, I think that's going to be something he wants to do for sure. I think he knows for a couple reasons it's something the program needs, but I think for a lot of quarterbacks, it is something they take upon themselves. You know, when they commit this early, they're usually challenged to do that. I think a lot of them commit this early because they want to do that. And he certainly, I think, fits that description. So I think you're definitely going to see him kind of take the lead in recruiting some guys for Tennessee. We'll, you know, only time will tell how effective he is, how much of a difference it makes, but there's no question, you know, again, I think there are going to be some guys who take more of a look at Tennessee, and whether it's behind the scenes or publicly, we'll find out more about that as the days and weeks progress, to see whether he's, you know, publicly tweeting at guys or things like that, or if he does things a little more quietly behind the scenes. We've seen it both ways, you know, from guys like Taven Jackson and others in previous classes. You know, each guy has their own kind of different approach to things, but I think he definitely will be pretty heavily involved and wants to do that because he knows Tennessee needs that. He knows he needs the rest of this class to make this a program changing class and not just him and some other pretty good players. You know, I think he knows he wants some other really good guys to come in with him so that he can help turn this around quicker and so that he can make his 3 or 4 years at Tennessee a success. And we'll see how that goes. But I think there's no doubt he wants to do that. And that's part of the motivation to go ahead and commit early, is that he can have a better chance of getting Tennessee in the mix for some really good players over the next several months.
Yeah, that's the last thing I had, of course. Ryan, unless you got anything else, the only other thing that I have written down, and I'll show it to you here on our Zoom call, I put mention the hair with 3 exclamation marks because I didn't want to not, as someone who, you know, during the after a few, you know, months of the pandemic was like, screw it, I'm just not cutting my hair for a while. If you hadn't seen it in a while, it's like, you know, past the shoulders now. I'll probably cut it before my brother's wedding. But bottom line, this young man's hair is just as long. This guy's got some style and some flow, and I got to tell you, Ryan, I like it.
There's a lot to like there. You know, he really does just give off the California cool vibe. Hey, Greg Biggins, again, our West Coast analyst, or one of our West Coast guys who's a national analyst at 24/7 Sports, he gave the comparison on his official 24/7 Sports evaluation to Marcus Mariota, a guy that he kind of grew up liking a lot, and that's one of the reasons he kind of grew up liking Oregon, was Mariota. And, you know, that's not a bad comparison for kind of how he's built and his skill set in a lot of ways. But this, he's got that kind of just kind of quiet confidence and swagger to him. But it's not an overconfidence necessarily. Like he just carries himself in a good way for a quarterback that you want leading a program like this. But yeah, from the look to just the way he carries himself, the way he smiles all the time, I think he's going to be a pretty easy guy for fans to rally around and cheer for at Tennessee. And you're going to see a lot of people, I'm sure, buying his shirts and things like that once he gets here and the NIL deals take off, as I'm sure they will, and he gets his name out there, because he's going to be a popular guy from the day he sets foot on campus. And no question, his look is only going to add to that. You know, he was wearing sunglasses a lot during his visit to Tennessee back the weekend of March 5th. He just kind of carries himself that California cool way. That's the only other way I know to put it. But he is that kind of guy, and no doubt his hair is a big part of that. So I'm not surprised that you mentioned that, but no doubt people are going to notice that.
Hey, flow respects flow. Game respect game. That's all I got to say.
Well, let's not put your flow quite in that discussion, though, Wes.
Ryan, the picture with the Braves mascot at the game and everything, I was wearing like one of those the face masks that has like the two straps on it. That was not wearing a hat. That was not like a proper flow day. That was not a proper representation. The flow is normally – I think pretty good, but not this young man. So this, but regardless, flow respect flow. So this kid is good. This is a huge day for Tennessee. I don't think there is a darn thing to complain about with this. Ryan, you got anything else?
No, I think you said it. Anybody who likes to nitpick any of these pickups Tennessee has, I don't think we're going to hear a lot of that today. I think this is going to be a universally celebrated day for Tennessee, and rightfully so. It's again, kind of potentially a turning point, a program changing kind of moment if Tennessee can continue to capitalize on it. But on his own, huge pickup for Tennessee for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, not going to be a lot of Bama wouldn't take him or Georgia wouldn't take him. Not going to be a lot of that with this one. This one's a big deal. Ryan, thanks for joining us, man. I know it's a busy day, lots going on, so appreciate you taking some time to do this with us, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Wes.
And you know what, guys? If I can find that button, where is it? There it is. Now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, a big edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Thanks to Ryan for joining us. More importantly, thanks to y'all for listening. We appreciate it. We always do. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news on your feed, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247 and get tons of stuff there throughout the day. But if you want the best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain deliciousness, that beautiful, beautiful, clear Smoky Mountain water right from the tap, go get that at GoVols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball, ranked second in the newest poll. Lots of stuff going on there, big stuff there. Lady Vols NCAA tournament coming up, big stuff going on with them, and we got Maria Cornelius, who covers them all year long, every sport, not just basketball, all of it, A to Z. We cover every single thing that Tennessee does. We cover it right there at GoVols247.com. We got two forums that run around the clock all day, every day, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with hundreds and thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, pretty much every single time zone, any time of day. People will be on there wanting to talk with you, not just about Vols, not just about sports, about life, man, about anything you want, as long as it's not politics or religion. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit for those. We've also got the best database that you're going to find, the best national analyst and network that you're going to find. All of that you get, and that's a pretty good deal for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That's all it costs. But if you pay us that rate, which again is really, really, really reasonable, on top of that, we will give you full access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is the streaming behemoth giant that we're building here at CBS Viacom, where you get everything CBS has ever done commercial-free. Exclusive shows like Picard, Evil, 1883, Star Trek, Mayor of Kingstown, fresh movies, Hollywood movies, A-list movies, classic movies, new movies, all kinds of stuff, plus access to the vaults of, obviously, CBS and MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Smithsonian, Nickelodeon, something for everyone in the family. And live sports, Vols stuff, SEC stuff, NFL, PGA Tour, Champions League, UEFA Europa League, World Cup qualifiers, Italian Serie A. Guys, all of it. We give you all of it, which is several hundred dollars worth of stuff, for like $100 a year after a free trial. You cannot beat that deal. Go right now to govols247.com and take advantage of that opportunity. Please, you will not regret it. Also, please rate and review and subscribe to this podcast. We always appreciate it. You can find it anywhere that you can cast the fine pod. You can find this very podcast. And I think we're just about out of time, so I'm just going to say shout out to thoughts to the people in Eastern Europe. It's rough there. Tough world. Have some empathy. Be decent to each other. Come on. We can do better than this. See you.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.